You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill. This time we're looking ahead to the action that is coming up on Monday the 12th of August. And we're live from 205 on Racing Radio. We're at Catterick in the afternoon air. Sadly, been abandoned, but we still have the racing from Catterick to bring you. Windsor, Ballymrobe and Wolverhampton is where we're going to be in the evening. Me, John Gibby, in the presenter's chair. I'm joined by two other Johns, John O'Connell and John Babb will be with me throughout the course of the day, so do join us on Racing Radio. Here on the podcast, though, I'm joined by Ollie Pimlott. Hello, Ollie.
Hello, Jamie Gibney.
Are you well?
I'm very well. How are you?
Yes, very good. Good to have you with us. We've had you on Racing Radio for, what, is this the third consecutive
third
day
consecutive
in some
day
capacity?
And then I'll go sort of a month barren. But yeah, very enjoyable. Hasn't been the greatest 3 days racing, if I'm honest. But with the York Ebor meeting on the horizon, I think you're going to get a bit of a natural lull, aren't you? But yeah, been something different, certainly with the Shergar Cup. I do think it has a place in the racing calendar. Like, I think people can take it and leave it, but I think it's a bit of a fun, exciting experience. Another good performance from Hayley Turner. And good to see jockeys from all over the world with the different styles riding. I think it brings something different to it. See, Mark Johnson doesn't agree with the team colours. I would actually agree with him on that count, because we didn't have the first two commentaries from Ascot yesterday and I had to take over.
Ooh.
And it was like,
how was that?
Well, it was like doing the Irish Grand National when there's about 12 Jigginstown caps. You were just that was quite difficult. What I think they should do, and it would encourage more owners to have runners in the Shergar Cup, is to run in the owners' colours and perhaps have a team cap for each of them.
You know what, Ollie? I was sat at home yesterday watching the Shergar Cup, in the spirit of Great Minds Think Alike, thinking, wouldn't it be easier if they just had the same cap colour?
Yeah, I think it's the same cap colour. Obviously, there would be a bit of an issue if the same owner had two runners for the same
Same team,
yeah.
I don't think that'd be very likely, given that a lot of the big owners tend to stay away from the Shergar Cup anyway.
Yeah, but I think it would encourage more owners to have it, because you want, you know, when you're paying so much in training fees a month, you want the horses to run your own colours. You know, if the horse wins, you want your own colours in the winner's enclosure. I think the same coloured cap for each team, and then the owners who own the horse colours, I think that would be, make a bit of a difference to it.
And easier for the commentators and the
and the public. If you backed a horse and three of them have got exactly the same colours in, I think it's quite difficult to pick up the horse. In fact, the commentator was naming the jockeys more than the horses' names yesterday, because the jockey, I think because of the unique nature of it, a lot of people were backing the jockeys rather than the horses themselves. So I think I would agree with Mark Johnson. I would personally suggest is the owner's colours with the same cap for each team.
Well, the Shergar Cup wasn't the only action we had on Saturday. We also had group racing around the country. And let's take a look at a couple of the races now, including at Haydock, where we had the Rose of Lancaster. And that was won by Dave. A job that was made a little bit easier, Ollie, by Wissahickon Hicken being a non-runner in the contest. But it's good to see Dave, a horse who hasn't always put his best foot forward and shown what he can do to the best of his ability at all times. He was on his A game this time.
I think you've been a bit harsh on him, Jimmy.
Do you not think last season he was at risk of turning into a bit of a disappointment?
Possibly, but he's turned it around this year. Won with Digging the Ground at Royal Ascot, then couldn't live with El Arkham at York, but El Arkham's a very smart performer. I think the most disappointing man yesterday would be Danny Tudhope. Didn't have any winners Shergar Cup day and saw his rival in chief, Ashin Murphy, banging in a few winners, and of course missed out on a Group 3 success given that Richard Kingscote took over on a day usually Danny Tudhope's ride. So it'd been a very frustrating day for Danny. I think you've been a little bit harsh on him. I think when conditions are in his favour, I think he's a smart animal.
I think he won Lincoln a couple of years ago, and everyone was talking about him as if he was the second coming. And then he never quite, you know, people thought he was a serious Group 1 winner in waiting, which he's never quite lived up to. But I'm not saying he's been a total blowout, and certainly this season with the Royal Ascot win and what happened on Saturday, is, as you say, he's shown a better level of form.
Yeah, I think you've been a bit harsh. I mean, if you look at the Lincoln in recent years, horses like Lord Glitters have come out of it. It's been a good sort of stepping stone for horses like Adeyeb, who are perhaps not quite top class. I think the same would apply to Lord Glitters. He's a Group 2, Group 3 horse, maybe not quite absolute top, tip-top Group 1 standard. I know he has been placed in a couple of Group 1s, but he's not quite just there, is he? And I think that the Lincoln is proving to be a race that's, generally, if they come out of that race and win it or finish second or third, they are a very smart performer now. But I think you've been a bit harsh on him. I think, given if he gets his conditions, plenty of dig in the ground with quite a small field, I think he's a decent horse.
Well, he certainly had those conditions on Saturday, where we also saw a good performance from West End Girl and the Sweet Solera at Newmarket, one of there for Mark Johnson and West End Girl. Definitely stepped up on the form that she'd shown last time out, and wins and could be a nice prospect for the Johnson team going forward.
Yeah, and probably got a bit of compensation for in-running trouble at Sandown prior to that. I saw the interview after the race and they thought she was the unlucky one to take out of Sandown last time. And her first group success for the sire Golden Horn. I wouldn't say has lit up the ranks this year by any means, but Golden Horn, obviously a Derby winner, they're going to take a little bit of time.
He didn't even make his debut until I think it was November or maybe October. He ran once at two and it was very much back end. So
yeah, they're all very much late developing types. We're seeing the same with the likes of Australia. I think he's a second season stallion now. I was looking at the stats with Andrew Mountain. I think he's around about 8% to nearly 15% from two-year-old to three-year-old. So these horses are going to get better with time. I think the same applies to Golden Horn. I think he's going to be an exciting stallion next year. Another one to mention is Camelot, who's exactly the same. Another Derby winner. They're taking a bit of time, but seem to be excelling at three and four.
West End Girl, the first group winner for Golden Horn in the Sweet Solera at Newmarket on Saturday. So we've gone through the best of Saturday's action, Ollie. Let's now turn our attention to look at Monday's racing and just the one meeting in the afternoon at Catterick. And that is where you're going for both of your two sections.
Yes, I'm going to go firstly, Jimmy, in the 4:15 at Catterick. Not a whole host of runners in it. Six go to posts. First one I need to mention is I Am Adrena for the aforementioned Mark Johnson. Was third last Thursday. Vincent Ho in the saddle as well, I thought I was quite impressed with him. In the Sugar Cup meeting, has been riding to march up for Mark Johnson prior to that, and is slipping down the handicap. Ran off an official mark of, you know, as high as 87, 89 last year. I Am Adrena runs off 82 tomorrow or today, whenever you are listening to this. But the one I was going to go for is one who's going the other way in the handicap, Ollivander. There doesn't seem to be a great deal of pace in the lineup. He enjoys cutting the ground, which certainly he's going to get at Catterick tomorrow, given all the rain about in Yorkshire. I don't know if you saw Thirsk the other day, but there was a man just sat out in his umbrella all on his own. It was horrendous weather.
I think his mate then noticed they were on TV he's got very excited.
Yeah, he's gone viral now. Officially soft tomorrow. I wouldn't be surprised if they changed that to soft heavy in places, given the rain we've had. It's another very mixed forecast for tomorrow. Ollivander appreciates cutting the ground. He likes to get his own way out in front, and he is incredibly progressive. He's won four times already this year, and yet he started off a mark of 67 and runs off 75 tomorrow. So the handicap has not actually hammered him. You know, you think a horse has won four times off of mark of 67, now 75. For four wins, he's only gone up £2 for each win. So I don't think he's overly burdened by that. He's the one progressive one in the field, likely to get an easy lead, and he's going to appreciate some cutting the ground. And Conor McGovern, who has won on this horse, I think on two occasions, takes a valuable £3 off, who is a very capable claimer. So Ollivander for me, 4:15 at Catterick.
Okay, and what about the other pick?
The other pick, we're going to go to the next race at Catterick, the 4:45. Again, a small field. The first one we need to mention here is Tonto Spirit. Not seen on the flat since 2017, but has won twice at Catterick. We know it's an idiosyncratic track. Horses who've done well here in the past generally do well there when returning. Has been in good form over fences at late. Diane Sayers' horses have been absolutely flying recently. Last seen finishing second at Perth. Three starts back was an even money winner at Cartmel, obviously a local track to Diane Sarin. Coming back under the flat code, got an official rating of 128 chase mark, a flat turf rating.
We meant on the flat for a second.
Yeah, it'd be very, good, wow. Very good flat horse. 72 here, it runs off on the flat. We generally equate to £30 or £40 between the two. So I don't think he's actually too badly well in. And, you know, a change of scenery, no fences in the way, no hurdles, might just brighten him up here. So he's got to be respected. But the one I'm going to go for is a former Jimmy Millman inmate.
Oh, wow.
That of Cotton Club, who was third on his stable debut. I thought ran really well at Bath. They picked this up at the sales off Richard Mitchell. Did George Bowie. Very new trainer to Newmarket is George Bowie, formerly assistant with Hugo Palmer. I think he's only in his mid-20s, so young lad. He picked up a few horses. He's going to be, I think he'd be a fairly big trainer in the coming months and years. He went with a few quid to spend at Newmarket, and I think the price was just that expensive. There's a lot of foreign buyers in there. He couldn't pick up the horses that he wanted, but this was a relatively cheap purchase. Took a real big step forward on what he'd shown for Richard Mitchell when finishing third at Bath. Another dual-purpose performer. But George Boffey, I think he's had five runners, three places so far, so he's not quite had that winner yet. I think his first runner was a second. Searching for that first winner, but his first five runners have run really well. And I thought Cotton Club might well give him a first winner in his burgeoning career in the 4:45 at Catterick.
That's at Catterick on Monday, and in the evening we'll be at Windsor, Ballinrobe and Wolverhampton. So lots of action to look forward to. Join us at Racing Radio throughout the course of the afternoon. Me, John Gibby. I'll be with John Babb and John O'Connell as well. And join us tomorrow for another edition of the Daily Racing Podcast. Ollie, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Jimmy.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.